This is Skip Mancini. I'm so glad you could come in, get out of the hot sun, and set a spell. It's time for Growing on the High Plains. Whether you are a scientific believer or not, surely everyone on the planet can agree that the times and the climate, they are a-changin'. Droughts, floods, heat waves, blizzards, tornadoes, and hurricanes seem to be news headliners nowadays, and weather records are being broken and then rebroken within a single season. Speaking of seasons, we on the high plains have weathered a winter that brought some welcomed snow, followed by downright balmy temperatures that didn't get low enough to kill off the bad boys of the insect world. Now we're being warned of grasshopper plagues, and I'm already seeing a plethora of hoppers in the nymph stage, just waiting to morph into eating machines in my garden. The Miller moths came early and stayed late. Everything seems to be jumping the gun this year. We had a warm spring that actually allowed my apricot and Santa Rosa plum trees to bloom and to bear some fruit, which was a first in our personal record books. A heavenly gift of 2 inches of rain in March and early April helped the garden explode with peas, lettuce, and other cool weather crops. The harvest of said peas was mighty, and also mighty early. The vines were hip-high and matted together, and by mid-May the peas were either eaten or picked, blanched, boxed, and frozen. The onions have toppled and are ready to pull, and I've been digging potatoes for several weeks to go on our dinner table. But the biggest surprise of all has been in the tomato patch. There seems to be something strange going on with area tomato plants as the leaves are rolling up into tight tubes and the vines look bedraggled and miserable. No one knows for sure why this is happening, but I think it has something to do with the heat wave that looks like it's here to stay. But even though the tomato vines look like they've seen better days, they're producing fruit a month earlier than usual. For those who view gardening as a competitive sport, July 4th is the usual goal for harvesting a ripe tomato and winning any local prize. I don't keep copious records, but I usually hope for a plate of sliced tomatoes on the table closer to the end of the month. This year I picked 2 ripe tomatoes on June 21st, and I'm sure there are others with earlier harvest dates who deserve the first tomato blue ribbon. That July 4th date is usually the deadline most people around here use to mark not only the beginning of homegrown tomatoes, but to signify a hoped-for end of wheat harvesting. When I told a farming friend about my early tomato harvest, he said wheat had been cut in southwest Kansas during the month of May. So we're anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks early on the growing cycle in the vegetable garden, the field, and the flower beds. My mum snuck up on me and formed buds before I got them nipped back, so now I have fall colors clashing against the summer blooms. This year I had to resort to wildflowers and roses to take to the cemetery for Memorial Day, because my usual standbys of peonies and iris had already come and gone. It will be interesting to see what happens during the rest of the growing season. Will the garden give up the ghost a month early and produce Halloween pumpkins on Labor Day? Will autumn begin in August? I could certainly live with that if it means an end to this exhaustive heat and high winds. Only time will tell, as this early bird gardening season is definitely one for the ever-changing record books.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.